It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee, live.
And sounded.
And in person.
Yes. So the prodigal son returns for an hour. Probably a lot longer than that, actually. But he is back, and we're here as usual and ready to go. So to all the regulars, thanks for always being there. We appreciate you listening, and that's why we continue to do this. If you're new to the show, found out about it somehow, accident, on purpose, or we told you you better listen or else, or something like that, then stick around for the whole hour. We always promise you you'll learn something. We never promise you just how important it'll be in your life. But usually there's something that comes out of it that's very worthwhile. And I don't think today will be any exception whatsoever. There's a lot going on right now, and there's a lot of uncertainty right now. And we'll get into that as we discuss the market for the week and that sort of thing. But first, if you are holding over from the real estate show, they were discussing Ron DeSantis and what a wonderful governor he is and all that. And I absolutely agree. But he blew it this week with all those new laws that started yesterday. He absolutely blew it. They declared a new state dessert. And they said it was strawberry shortcake. And they didn't even mention key lime pie. And I don't know if I can forgive him.
I mean, there is a big strawberry industry here.
Huge.
Down near Plant City.
Huge.
And key lime pie is pretty unique to Florida, though. So, yeah, I might have to lean.
You can go to California and get a lot of strawberries, but you're not going to go to California and get much else. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've traveled the world, and I'm sure you guys have gotten around the Boulevard internationally, and only good key lime pie, even the takeoffs in Europe and Monaco and even down in Brazil. I mean, I had one slice, and I sent it back to the kitchen. But why they didn't pick key lime pie over strawberry shortcake, I don't know. Maybe some of the ladies' group, the women's clubs, got involved with that. But the main reason I'm calling is 4th of July weekend and 4th of July itself is about true patriotism and true Americanism. And on behalf of myself and the greater community of Northeast Florida and Phil, I would like to thank, we would like to thank our true American patriots, Adam and Stephen Van Wee and team. And thank you for all the good you do every Saturday, every day. And may God continue to bless you. My health is not good, so prayers are welcome.
Well, you take care of yourself, and you've got them from us. And we always appreciate your call. Happy 4th and many more.
And thank you for your service.
And that, too.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Well, that, you know, that just somehow just struck me funny yesterday. All these new laws coming in, most of them are really cool, but no key lime pie? And for those of you who live locally here, if you want to get a really good one, it isn't maybe what you'd get in Key West, but out of all the pre-mades I've ever seen, I shouldn't even tell you because you'll probably go buy them up. But check out the frozen ones at Trader Joe's. They're awesome. Absolutely awesome. And you only get them for a short time every year. So, Sarah, get out there and buy them up first. But anyway, back to the markets and so on and so forth. We finished the week on a real high note. And because of that, we can now say we're up quarter to date. And when it's so hard to find something positive to say about the market, there it is.
Yep. That's true. You summed up all the good news that I have to talk about today.
Pretty sad.
Pretty much stole my thunder. So, yeah. So remember a couple of weeks ago when we mentioned that the Fed GDP Now tracker had gone from forecasting growth in the second quarter to forecasting 0% growth in the second quarter? That was a couple weeks ago. Well, now It's a negative 2.1% in the second quarter. So I know you've heard this. It's almost like they listened to our show last week adjusted their expectations accordingly, because we were saying that we think we're in a recession, and if that negative 2.1 prediction comes true in a couple of weeks, by a technical definition, we are in a recession.
And we Financial Hour strikes again.
And it just keeps looking worse and worse out there. And I don't mean that things are getting dire. I mean that it looks like the economy has slowed to a point where it is actually contracting. Yeah. And
not according to crazy Uncle Joe and the head of the Fed. They say the economy's in great shape.
Right. It depends what you look at.
If you want to be a politician
and cherry pick your statistics, you can absolutely make a case that the economy is in great shape.
Yep. Mostly the unemployment rate.
The jobs data, yeah, absolutely. The housing sales, while slowing, are still strong. Mm-hmm. There's lots of data points individually that would say that things are good. But when you talk to consumers and you look at the consumer sentiment numbers, you can see that people are not feeling good about their personal financial situations. And that only happens when, it usually coincides with a recession. So I think that the data will come out and say that we're in one. So the good news about that is that we're closer to recovery because it's already happened. If we were if we were sitting here thinking, oh man, it's not even coming till next year, that's a long way off.
Yeah.
So that's the only good news I have about that situation. But
and what if they gave a recession and nobody participated?
It kind of feels that way a little bit.
It does sort of.
If you look at if you're traveling anywhere this summer, it definitely feels like that because people are traveling in great numbers. The airlines can't keep up. The roadways. Last night, my wife and daughter were coming home. There was that big crash in St. Mary's. The roadways are packed. They got delayed by 3 hours or so getting home. People are traveling in big numbers, despite high gas prices, despite the recession. And so there are definitely areas that do not look recessionary right now. And I keep saying this is one of the weirdest recessions I've ever heard of or seen.
You know, part of it's just human behavior, because we've been cooped up for so long, couldn't go anywhere. Now people can, and that's what you've told the stories of how the campgrounds from here to anywhere just booked solid already.
It's true.
The problems at Yellowstone didn't help anything, because that cut a lot of people out of where they were going. So now everything else in that area is probably going to be doubly busy. So it's not an easy description, I guess. In fact, I'll talk a little bit more about it.
I think
after
what people really want to know is, how do we get out of this?
Exactly.
And I will talk about that after the break.
And not only that, how do we invest into the part about getting out of it?
Yeah, that's the tougher part.
Is it too late to sell? Is it too early to buy? Is it too late to buy? What's going on here? And I'm going to tell you, those answers are not exactly written on my palm to read. So I'll have to see, because one of the things that we kind of make it a habit to do or to not do, depending, we don't talk to each other about what we're going to talk about on the show. I want Adam's opinion to be completely separate from mine, and very often they merge, not always. So I think if we discussed things too much in advance, it would lose some of the pizzazz. So we'll hear from both of us after we take a short break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back. Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm just chuckling a little bit. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
We're just making some, comments about the U.S. government. Adam's family just got back from D.C., and they said it was really awesome. And I said, yeah, it's amazing what you can do with a buttload of other people's money, isn't it?
Yeah, it is an impressive-looking town, the stuff that they've built over the years, the monuments. It's a cool place. It's not a place I would ever want to live or spend any considerable amount of time, but it's a good weekend trip.
Mm. All right. As usual, we have a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can reach Ken at 904-636-7888. today, since we're in a period of anniversaries and birthdays, I just had a birthday, and the country has one coming up in a couple of days, then I thought I'd do a little piece of Americana. What very important piece of Americana began exactly 60 years ago today, and it has become as much a part of America almost as the Stars and Stripes? Well, maybe not quite that much, but almost.
Yeah.
And now one more quick announcement, message, explanation, whatever. Even if the people that said the second quarter GDP largely contracted, even if they come out and say it did, it's not a recession yet, because the National Bureau of Economic Research, which is a private nonprofit, they're the ones that get to massage data and look at the real and the nominal and all that. And if they say it's a recession, it's a recession. And the reason for that, I'll make an analogy to golf. The four tournaments that we know as the majors in golf are majors. Why are those four the majors? Well, they're the majors because Jack Nicklaus says they're the majors. And no one will ever tell you anything different, because that's what happened. He says they're the majors. Don't try to get our tournament a major, because Jack hasn't said it can yet. But because of that, now CNN, and I know that none of you have heard this, because it was on CNN. And I had to read it, because I won't listen to it either. But it does seem now that that we are actually in a recession. So here's the explanation. They're trying to grease the way for the administration. And I quote, "There is a clear lack of racial diversity amongst the eight members, and NBER has never had a member who has been a racial minority." Okay. "All NBER members are experts in macroeconomics and business cycle research. Each is over 60 years old, and they're all associated with prestigious universities. The group includes two women, one of whom is married to another member." So I guess that means they have no credibility, right? So if they say no, then they'll get accolades from CNN. But if they say, yes, we're in a recession, you got to remember that just a bunch of old white people.
You
can't make this up.
Honestly, I don't really care what they say. I think that if we see two quarters consecutively contracting, that I'm going to say we're in a recession.
That's good enough for Milton Friedman. It's good enough for me.
Whether or not they put their stamp of approval on it. So,
right.
Anyways, let's talk a little bit about what happened in the second quarter, even though I don't want to.
I hear you.
By many measures, it was one of the worst quarters in recent history, or in any history. It added to an already terrible first quarter to make it one of the worst first halves of the year in market history. On top of that, there were many more negative trading days than positive versus the average, which is 52.1% positive. So well below that in the second quarter. We have seen 14 days where the index lost more than 2% this year. That makes it the 10th largest number on a year on record, and we're only halfway through it. So we could easily set some more pretty terrible records this year.
Pessimist.
It's true. The problem is, yeah, it's just there isn't a lot of good news out there. Another trend has been that the market has reached some nice intraday gains only to give them up before closing. There's only 2 years on record that saw the same number of reversals of more than 1%. So the market went up 1% and then ended up down 1%.
Yeah, remember every one of them like it was yesterday.
The only 2 years where it happened more were 2008 and 2009. So not great years in the market. The trading patterns right now are not very favorable for a short-term turnaround, but that doesn't mean that we can't see one. In fact, according to our main research organization, when years start like this, 8 out of 8 times, a year later the market was higher than where it is now, and most of those years it was significantly higher, way more than the normal.
Why do I have the urge to say past performance is not indicative of future
results?
Correct.
That's correct. But that is the last 8 of 8 times this has happened.
That's pretty good.
A year later. Yeah. Yeah. That you don't often see statistics where 100% of the time something happens, but this is one of those. Now, of course, there's always that almost makes it more likely that this will not be that. So who knows?
Yeah. You could wind yourself in a pretzel trying to figure out what that's worth.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. 8 out of 8 is pretty solid.
It is. Not only is the U.S. market down this year, just about every sector is off this year. The bond market's down, international markets are down, and crypto is really down. The only place this year to hide has been commodities, but even those faltered in June. The price of natural gas fell 32% in June. Oil was down 6%. Agricultural commodities were down over 7%. Gold was down 1.5%, and silver was down 6%.
So yeah, that's why I put a title on my notes for coming in today, and it says, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Nope. Even energy companies had been one of the only safe havens in 2022, fell 17% in June.
Yep.
Ouch.
And with inflation being the number one problem on people's mind, you would think that tips might be doing something.
They were down 3%.
Yeah. The price charts on tips, they're just miserable.
Yep. Utilities fell just under 5%. Bitcoin was down 41% in June. Oh, ouch. One of the few winners was China, which gained just under 11%. It's still down over 12% this year, though. So even though if you managed to get in late last month, you might have done fairly well investing in China. That maybe is a reopening trade with them lifting some of their COVID lockdowns. But their economy is not looking much better than ours right now. Yep. It's in pretty bad shape as well. Economic data has been trending.
They don't have energy independence themselves either, so they're paying world prices, although Russia's
they're probably getting a bargain from Russia.
Yeah. But with the ruble as strong as it is, I think the winner here is clearly Russia, not China nor us. And of course it's all based on stupidity anyway, but I digress.
Economic data has been trending in the wrong direction for some time, but in June it really accelerated. All the measures of consumer sentiment have tanked down to historic lows. Consumers are worried about their personal finances, with inflation eating away at any increases they've seen in wages. Expectations still show that consumers expect inflation to persist in the short term, but they don't have that same expectation in the longer term, and that's good news. People think that we are going to see inflation persist for the next few months, and then it will come back down to reasonable levels. And actually, the financial markets are also showing the same thing. Core PCE, there's something called the inflation swap market, and I just learned this. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Inflation swap?
Yeah, people swap inflation futures, I guess. I don't either. But I didn't even know it existed. But right now it's showing that core PCE, it should be at about 2% in about 2 months with no expectations for spikes after that.
For those of you who are not familiar with Fed talk, PCE is what the Fed calls our version of the consumer price index. They have a little bit different way of measuring it that they say is more accurate, and I say all it does is suppress the actual inflation rate.
Well, and core means that they strip out food and energy, which are way more volatile, not just recently, but historically too. So that's the number they really care about, core PCE, because inflation will, gas prices will fluctuate, and food prices hopefully will fluctuate down. But the things that people really care about are their monthly bills, like rent, utilities, those kind of things. Right. And that's what is included in that number. And sitting at about 2% would be great, especially in the next 2 months. But that's where the expectations are, pricing everything for financial markets. Now, the Fed knows this, but they're maintaining their very, very hawkish stance on the market. And I hope to see that change in July. And that is where I think you could see the market start to rebound. If the Fed backs off their very, very strong rate hike expectations, because they see that inflation has turned a corner, and it looks to have turned a corner. So I think that would be the catalyst that would start a rebound in the equity markets. And I'm not talking about a V-shaped recovery like we saw after coronavirus. This would be more of a long, drawn-out recovery, a bit of a rocky road. But I think you could start to see that happen should expectations start to change.
And if the number comes out and it's negative, that the Fed will say something. They don't just wait to do something. they say something.
They'll signal.
They signal it all the time, and they just can't help themselves from doing it, apparently. And I think, unfortunately, what I really think is they're going to go ahead and still do at least a half and probably three quarters in July.
I don't know. The yields fell dramatically this week, and I think that might be telling us that they expect a little bit different reaction.
I really, really hope you're right. You know their record. It's always too little, too late, or too much for too long.
Mm-hmm.
Have they, I asked this question last week, have they ever gotten anything right? And the answer to that is very clearly no. Well, maybe there's a first time for everything. All right, we need to take a quick break and pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'd like to remind everybody the trivia question is still out there. What happened on this very day 60 years ago that has created a very, very massive part of Americana? No other hints just yet. All right, want to wrap up anything else on the market for the week? Are we looking forward a little bit? What do we do? As I said, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
I think as long as the bond yields stay lower this week, you could see a better week than what we've seen recently, just due to maybe expectations of interest rate hikes coming down a bit. I'm not going to bet on that, but I could see that playing out next week.
Yeah. Besides, I think a lot of what we had, you know, in the last month, we've had a couple of days, 800-point days up and things like that. I think a lot of the pessimism and a lot of the big swings have been more or less meaningless. I don't know. A lot of the market is oversold based on the usual characteristics of having been a couple of standard deviations down. And that usually will correct a little bit or at least hover. But is there a huge downside left? You could make an argument for it, but I don't think you make a very strong one.
I could see. The growth stocks have already seen a 30%+ decrease, so yeah. I don't think there's a lot of downside on that side. The overall market, I could easily make a case down another 5-7%, but I could make a case for a rebound too. So I'm right in the middle. I'm not optimistic. I'm not overly pessimistic either, but I don't expect a quick turnaround to this thing. I think it's going to take some time. I think it could take well into 2023 before we get back to anything or even pushing on a new record.
Starting slowly next week and accelerating for a little while after that is the new earnings season.
Mm-hmm.
And if those numbers start to come in and they're dismal,
all bets are out. Yeah, you've got another 10-20% downside if that happens.
Yep. But if the beats are in, and there's some reasons to think that they will be, then that could just kind of relax everybody and say, okay, well, that's enough of this junk. Let's try something new.
What I'd like to see is a flood of analysts revising forecasts down, because that makes beats a lot easier to come by.
That's true.
You're not seeing it right now. Yeah. It's kind of surprising considering all the terrible economic data out there. And that is not usually a good setup for earnings season either. So I don't know. I'm a little nervous, but not overly nervous. We're sitting on more cash than we normally do because of all the uncertainty out there. And so I'd love to find a good place to deploy it, but right now I just don't trust anything.
Now I feel like any move you make is wrong, and that the downside is still at least as large as the upside. So I'm not ready to make a stance one way or the other just yet, but doing nothing in the short run, at least we know where we are.
Yeah, at least you're not losing, except, you know, you're 8.6% to inflation, but that's that's minimal compared to what the stock market's been doing.
We haven't been hearing much about dividend cuts. There's some chatter that it could be happening, but I haven't seen anything actually happen yet. A couple things. You know, obviously, the oil price. If the administration, this is far-fetched, of course, but if the administration were to just signal something about oil production and refining, the whole thing would turn around. But that's not going to happen. We just found that out.
No.
Welcome, everybody, to the liberal world order. We only found out yesterday that there is such thing and that we're in it. And that tells me that any chance of seeing anything positive on the energy market has just gone out the window. It's not going to happen. We're going to have to do it some other way. We're only 4 months from an election, and that can get under people's skin in a very positive way also. In Vegas right now, the odds of the House turning over to Republicans are 86% and the Senate 60%. Those are pretty good margins, although it's quite a ways away. So that would help. But the other big thing, we got to get people to go back to work. Is it JOLTS still above 10 million? Isn't it the job openings?
Yeah.
What is going on out there, people? Where are they getting all this money? I know a lot of people have what they call, quote, excess savings that are left over from PPP and all the stimulus package and all that stuff. But I have a problem with the word excess followed by the word savings. For the first time in a lot of people's lives, they actually have some savings. Go to work and protect them, people.
That's not the American
that
way.
That apparently is not the American way. It's just ridiculous. All right. Want to have a stupidity story?
Sure.
I got a great one. Amazon employees, and I'm quoting on this one, of, you ready? All genders beg management to stop doing business in pro-life states. I am not making this up.
You've got to be kidding me.
The all genders employees of Amazon were so distraught when the Supreme Court banned abortion. That's what they would say. And we don't talk about abortion around here ever. But when they made a decision that these people didn't like, even though these people don't have the first biscuit as to what actually happened, they wrote, a bunch of them wrote a letter to the world's best employer. That's in the letter. We want the world's best employer to actively defend against this assault on our liberty. So they want Amazon to cease doing business in states that have abortion laws that they don't like.
Did they realize they'd probably get fired because the sales would go down?
Bingo.
30%?
Democrat-run California has more than 170,000 Amazon employees. Republican-run states like Texas and Florida have 95,000 and 59,000. So let's take those 95,000 and 59,000 and just fire them because we're not doing business here anyway. This is not brilliant, people, and it shows you exactly what we're looking at in the educational system of this country. And if it doesn't scare you, it certainly should.
Well, part of this I've been reading a lot about this recently. Part of it is a product of having such a strong job environment for basically the last 15, 12 years now, outside of a little blip during coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been in one of the best job markets forever. And the thing about good job markets is companies do a lot of things and to try and retain employees, including listen to their requests. This hasn't always been the case in America. For many, many years, employees had almost no rights, and that led to unionization and things like that. Mm-hmm. But for the last 12 years or more even, everything's been pretty good. And there's a large portion of the working adult population that has never worked in a bad job market. They've always been able to just hop over and find another job easily without even really putting much effort in. So when things don't go their way, they complain to management, and if management doesn't fix it, they go find another job. Well, it's kind of led to things like this, and I don't think this is long for this world. I think you are going to see a big reversal on that by a lot of companies. We've already seen it at Netflix. That was probably the most notable one where they said, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. And I think you're going to see more of that.
But an even better story is about Elon Musk.
What did he do?
Musk told his California people that if they want to work for a Tesla, that they needed to come back to the office for a minimum of 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said next is so quintessential Musk that I can hardly stop laughing about it. He said, for those of you who don't want to come back into the office for at least 40 hours a week, should go pretend to work for someone else. Is that not one of the greatest Musk lines ever?
I like it.
And then this morning I read that Meta, Facebook, for those of you who don't follow the changes out there, have decided that there's really a lot of people that work for them that don't seem to be doing much.
Oh, I saw that too, yeah.
So they've been invited to go elsewhere also. So things are happening in arenas that things don't normally happen to out there. Ultimately, it's got to wind up with some good. All right, we've got to take one more break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And on the phone is Ron. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show as usual.
Thank you so much. What's up?
I'd like to take a shot at the trivia question if I could.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking it had something to do with the Gay Rights Amendment. Not really.
No. It's a good guess.
It's a great response, but that's not the one that I know of. No, if there's a coincidence out there that got going that early, then that's one thing. But it's not what we're looking for.
Okay, because I was in college at that time, and that was a big movement back then.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Yeah. It has been ever since. Still is, really more or less.
Took a while. They never got too much notice in the old days, but that's definitely all changed since we just got off of Pride Month, which I am rather relieved about, but that's another story.
Yeah,
anyway, we appreciate the call as always. Happy 4th, and we'll talk soon, I hope.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend and drive safely.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. I don't have a name on this caller, so can I ask, what's your name, please? Caller? Lost the call. Never mind.
Oh, there's another one, though, isn't there? No? Is it gone? Oh, okay. Weird.
Can't tell for sure.
Oh, well.
Yeah, anyway, let's do that, because we're going to run out of time otherwise. Remember Adam's series of a few months ago, Who Am I? I'm a Self-Made Millionaire. Oh, here we go. Came back. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Steve and Adam. Good to talk to you again. I was sick here recently. I normally call you from the boat.
Yeah.
On Saturday, and forced into retirement here in the last. Just happened to me.
Really?
I came out of the hospital and had to put my older company to bed, and all of a sudden now I'm retired, and I'm starting to draw on my investments, which I really hadn't planned to do. Bad timing. And then, but I wanted to ask you one question about the treasuries. I mean, what's the name of that bond?
TIPS.
Is it I-bonds?
I-bonds, yes.
In a pretty good amount?
Yes.
Yeah,
there
are a couple different ways to go about that, and they're a little on the complicated side. It depends on your time span, partly because if you buy them from U.S. Treasury direct, then you have to hold them a year, and to avoid any penalties, you have to hold them 5 years.
Oh, well, I don't think that would be a problem, but 5 years, I knew it would be at least a year at a time.
Yeah, the other thing is they're advertising that great big interest rate right now, but that gets adjusted every 6 months, and you have no idea if the inflation does actually fall sharply at any time in there, then you have been exposed to what we call interest rate risk with the investment.
With all that being said, though, they're a good investment.
Yeah,
because
they're
safe, and they're paying something, and you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose on them. So if you are looking for something safe with a with a right now a very good interest rate and most likely going down to a okay interest rate in the not too distant future, I think that that is a good thing to look at. You can only do $10,000 per Social Security number, so if you're married, $20,000 total per year.
Yeah, my wife and I. Yeah. So, but you know, I heard it was paying like 7%.
It was actually up towards 8. It was over 8, mid 8s, I think. Yeah. But that will come down as the inflation rate goes down.
Resets on November 1st.
So let's say, like, if it, well, you know, like you said, I mean, right now, other than what I have at Charles Schwab, you know, I have about $70,000 in cash, and there's no way I'm going to need that much. So I thought about doing $10,000 for myself and $10,000 for my wife, because right now we have it in local CDs, which are paying nothing.
Yeah. I think it's a fine idea. And other thing to remember is if you get 2 or 3 years out, and the interest rate keeps falling and falling, and it gets so low that it's not interesting anymore, your penalty for selling after the first year is only 3 months' interest. So if you lose 3 months at 0.5% or something like that down the line, just sell them.
Just sell them.
Yep. You'll get your face value.
I really appreciate it, fellas. I have no idea about the trivia.
And not ready to give in yet.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys.
Thanks so much. Good to hear from you. And sorry about your situation, but at least you sound dedicated to doing the best that you can do.
Yeah, I'll be all right. You know, I just really had no idea I was going to be retired. You know, it just hit me upside the head. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but you see the value of early preparation, because unfortunately a lot of retirements nowadays are not voluntary.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this certainly has been the case with me.
Yep.
But you know, I have been. You know, I have a lot of fear. You know, of financial insecurity.
Sure.
But you know, even though I've done the best I can to prepare for the future, but you know, it is what it is. But I really appreciate it. I always love to listen.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You have a wonderful 4th, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks,
Evan. Bye.
Yeah, this has been going on since COVID and probably a bit before that, actually, that the involuntary retirement is a big, bad deal out there. You think with all the people who aren't entering the workforce and all the jobs opening, it never happens, but it does.
Yep, it sure does.
Yeah. Anyway.
But more time to fish, so that's a good thing.
Hey, got to be an upside to everything. A silver lining in the cloud somewhere. All right, who am I?
Yeah, how much time do we have left?
About 3.
Okay, I will try and get this all in. I've been doing that series about millionaires that came from nothing, just kind of proving the American dream. And since it's 4th of July weekend, I have had this prepared for a while. We just haven't had time to do it. And I thought it would be a good timing, because this is about an immigrant who moved here. It was actually a husband and wife duo, born in Seoul, Korea in the 1950s, and immigrated to America in 1981. In Korea, they worked in coffee shops and even started their own coffee delivery service, so they always had that entrepreneurial spirit. Then they arrived in California, very little money, willing to take any work available. At times, the husband worked 3 jobs to make ends meet, including working in coffee shops as a janitor and as a gas station attendant. So really kind of the prototypical Korean immigrants, hardworking, wanting to make a better life for themselves here in America. Early on, they noticed that several of wealthier people they met worked in the fashion industry in America, and they started to believe that fashion may be their ticket out of poverty. Not surprising, being in California. Using the savings from working 3 jobs, they opened their first store in the Highland Park area of Los Angeles called Fashion 21. Initially, they targeted Korean Americans in Los Angeles, which turned out to be a pretty successful strategy. Revenue rose from $35,000 in the first year to $700,000.
Whoa.
After that. Yeah, not bad.
That's a growth rate.
They quickly realized that the Korean American community wasn't going to be large enough to support the kind of growth they really wanted, so they changed the name of the store to Forever 21, and within 5 years, they had 11 stores across multiple states. Forever 21's sales peaked in 2015 with $4.4 billion in revenue at almost 700 global locations. I think they got the growth they were looking for.
No kidding.
The success story also has a twist at the end of it, though, as the company hit hard times in 2019 as sales dropped 32%. The reality is that their sales had been declining for years as new competitors, high-cost retail spaces, and online retail had been hurting their business. In 2019, they entered Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and in 2020, Forever 21 was sold to a consortium of small mall operators, including Simon Property Group and Brookfield Properties, for $81 million. The new owners have continued to expand the business worldwide. Despite the business problems in the last few years, at the peak of their wealth, immigrant couple Do Wong Chang and Jin Suk were worth $5.9 billion, according to Forbes.
Whoa.
Despite all their issues, they're still worth $800 million each today.
Whoa.
They're both devout Christians. They have two daughters who both work for the company. They give extensively to Christian charities throughout their foundation and do missionary work in developing nations. The rise and fall of Forever 21 may be what they are known for, but the real story is that a hardworking immigrant couple came to America and realized the American dream. Happy Fourth.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right. 60 years ago today, a guy in a pickup truck started a little retail establishment in Rogers, Arkansas. He called it Walmart.
All right. Another success story.
Can you imagine driving around this country and not seeing Walmart everywhere you go? What a deal. All right. Well, everybody, happy birthday to the country and have a wonderful Fourth. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. This is the Ben Wee Financial Hour.